Welcome to Dial M for Maple, the AV Club's deep dive look at Riverdale. Today's school is back in session with Fast Times at Riverdale High. I'm your host, AV Club's Mara Eakin, and I'm joined, as always, by Cameron Cheats. Cameron, hello.
Hey, we're back.
We're officially back.
Yeah, this feels more like, okay, we're in it now. This is the season.
Yeah, I mean, there's a brief mention of Fred at the beginning.
There is.
Of, like, time passing since July 4th.
Mm-hmm. As but, we
like,
expected.
There is no crying Jag.
Right.
It's as if Fred was never gone.
Yeah. I think it's been said before how, like, Riverdale throws out what would in other shows be, like, very special episodes as, like, quick, like, act break plot twists and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And I do think, you know, that, like, the Luke episode was their version of a very special episode. That was their tough teen issues episode.
Did you read that thing I sent you where it was, like, Roberto talking about it?
Oh,
I think
yeah.
It was with Decider or Collider or someone.
Mm-hmm. Collider, I think. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, great, this answers all the questions that we
It did.
Want.
I think we shared that. Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, Roberto, of course, provided more insight into the bringing the Luke Perry, Fred Andrews episode together. But yeah, we're back into things. This is like truly the show laying the groundwork for season four, What's Ahead, which I guess What's Ahead is senior year.
Wrapping up season three, doing season four. By the way, does Riverdale suck? Like, does Riverdale High's... The school seems like it blows.
I mean, it definitely does.
Like, why is Jughead not in, like, AP English? Why are there, like, 50 kids in that class?
Yeah, I think that, like, public schooling is an issue across the country, and the show is really going in on public schooling by showing how boring some of the teachers are at Riverdale High.
Yeah, and how literally no one did a summer reading, including Betty. Which
oh,
is
yeah.
like, okay.
That scene cracked me up, though, and it made me want, like, more of that. You know, I'm specifically talking about the scene, everyone being so bored of the teacher.
Yeah,
like,
it was like a Bueller.
Yeah, Tony's, like, twirling her hair. I think it does suck. Well, speaking of high school, you know, we traditionally start off with an ice puncher to break the ice.
Cameron, I gotta say, this week's is a little suspicious, knowing that you wrote it and knowing what yours was.
I just wanted to talk about me.
Yours, the question is, did you have any superlatives in high school?
Mm-hmm.
My high school did not do those because they were classist or something like that. Like,
fair.
Like, yeah. We did have them in middle school.
Uh-huh. That's
like,
a little more gentle,
I kind of jerry-rigged it because I was the yearbook editor in eighth grade. So I made one that was, like, best dressed, and then I kind of did one that was most colorful clothing, which I was like, I want to win one of those two. And then technically I came in second in most colorful clothing, but we made a rule that only you could only win one. So I ended up winning that one by default.
Wow. Congrats.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
It wasn't real.
Superlatives
yours was best
are,
hair.
Yeah, I did get best hair. I had a giant curly mop. Of
yeah.
a mess.
We've talked about it before, yeah.
Yeah, and everyone, I mean, I'm sure we've even shared pictures on the Dial M Twitter.
I think your mom had sent them.
Oh, yeah, my mom did, you're right. Thanks, Mom. Yeah, that was my superlative. And my second part of the ice puncher was like, what character from Riverdale do you think would win your superlative? And I think, like, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of good hair in this school, but I think Tony probably gets it just because it's, like, loud, right?
I disagree. I would go with Cheryl.
Yeah, I mean, it's perfectly done it at all times, but whose isn't on this show?
No, 100%.
But yeah, superlatives are always rigged, so we would have to imagine Cheryl probably has a hand in them and probably would give them all to herself and Tony, the good ones at least.
Mm-hmm. She could win most colorful clothing too if you really want to get into
it. Oh, yeah.
Related to that, though, I will say my other note about this episode is that Betty's clothing has gotten like more sexualized.
Hmm.
Like, there's more midriffs. And, like, she's aging into that senior year. Yeah, her clothes have gotten a little edgier. You know, she's, like, not just, like, living at home with mom.
Right. She's not a girl, not yet a woman, as the great poet Britney Spears once wrote.
Yeah, coming out of that Hustlers.
That's
with, like,
right.
With, like, a little bit racier. Speaking of racy, this episode.
Oh, yeah. I mean, let's get into it. Early on, we get, like, one of the more overtly horny sequences we've ever
and
seen
kind
on
of
the
in
show.
A gross way, in a way where it was like, oh, guess it's time for us to go in the other room.
Yeah.
Like, I texted you about it and was like, ew. But I guess that's like, it is kind of high school-y where it's like, we're going to have a makeout party. We're all just going to make out in the same room. It's
not
like,
my experience of high school.
No, not mine either. But I remember like, maybe that was middle school or whatever. But
Yeah, but it did feel very like, I don't know.
I guess that's our cue.
I guess like, they're open with each other. Yeah, I was like, oh my God, is this going to become a
Orgy. If I was sitting like talking to you and Michael, if Andrew and I were sitting talking to you and Michael, all of a sudden you were like hardcore making out in front of us, I would be like, gross.
Yeah, we wouldn't.
Like, I wouldn't be like, I guess that's our cue for us to go do it in the other room. I'd be like, ew.
Can you guys leave?
Like, I would be like, I guess we're going to leave. But then right. We would just talk about, like, how pissed we were in the car.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, this show, I mean, I don't know if they're just trying to prove how just, like, open and free with each other they all are. But, I mean, they've all been through a lot together. Yeah. So maybe that's the point.
And, like, I guess they need, like, another reason for, like, Archie to take his shirt off and for people to be like, Bughead. Like, that's what they're really – that's how they really make out in real life.
Mm-hmm.
Gross.
I know, but people love it. I remember seeing – because there was the trailer for this episode and there was a clip of the scene of them, like, making out.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw one of, the, like, Bughead stan accounts tweet, like, what song is going to be playing? Like, they're that excited that they need to know what, like, sexy song is playing while they're having sexy time. Which it's like, yeah, the show gave it to him.
If I go and look on like AO3, which is like Archive of Our Own, or fanfiction.net or whatever on Friday, let's say this episode airs on Wednesday. If I go look on Friday, there will be 50 new stories based off of that scene.
Wow.
Like what happened after the cameras turned off. See? Yeah.
Oh, God, the internet is so horned up. Horn. I mean, so was the show. Like, that was pretty overt. But, I did have the soundbite of them kind of catching up. Because, obviously, this is all, like, this is the last day before senior year. So, there's a, like, brief discussion between the gang, and I wanted to hear from that. So, let's play that clip.
You know, I really can't imagine a better way to spend our last night of summer vacation.
Isn't it crazy? In just 9 months, life as we know it will be over. No more high school.
No more blue and gold. More heart-to-hearts at the lockers.
Oh, B, don't be sad.
I'm sorry, guys. I can't help but think life goes by so fast, and none of us are very good at stopping to savor it. But tonight we will be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good clip.
Yeah, so that's the one. But, I mean, to me, the most notable part is the, but tonight we will be, and you hear juggle. Yeah, I mean, that really is the preamble to what is, I don't know, the first couple days of school that make up this episode.
Yeah, there's some setup. Like the first day back, first of all, they're late for school. So they run into the principal. Uh-oh, the principal's a dick.
Yeah, Principal like Honey.
Principal Honey. Not happy that, first of all, like, of course, they're like an hour late for school.
Right.
Second of all, like Cheryl, the first dance is off rationally because like people died at the last dance.
Uh-huh.
Like, multiple people. Totally reasonable. Cheryl's like, fuck you. I run this school. No adults can control me.
Well.
And then third, like, Veronica is getting paparazzi'd.
Oh, yeah. And he does. He takes issue with that.
Yeah. He's like, this seems like you're dramatic, not the world.
Yeah. I mean, this is very much wading into speculation booth waters already, but it's like, you can't trust any adult that's on the show. You can't trust Dr. Kirtle Jr., especially when they cut, you know, you can't trust social worker Weiss or whatever, but especially when this person appears out of nowhere and is immediately a dick, I have to be suspicious. And I'm like, is this a Hiram plan? Is Rumordale.com, great website name, wish we would have thought of it, is Rumordale.com being controlled, maintained? Is Hiram behind that as well?
Who the fuck cares about Rumordale.com, like the 30,000 people live in town, like, whoa, it's the New York Times, like,
yeah, it's pretty crazy that they have their own gossip site, but
yeah,
a lot goes on there, so
I guess, yeah.
But well, you brought up a few, I mean, yeah, essentially the intro, Principal Honey is like, this guy's immediately, I was just in my notes like, Principal hard ass is more like it, because
it kind of made me wonder if him and Cheryl are gonna end up doing it. Which is, again, a Dawson's Creek storyline.
Oh.
And Chris with us on Dawson's Creek. But, like, and I know that she's bi?
Mm-hmm.
Or is she gay? I can't really remember if she's lesbian or Cheryl? She's bi.
I don't know. Good question. I mean, Tony definitely is. But,
yeah.
Huh.
There's, like, some energy with them that I'm not.
Some, like,
that's a little, like, well, screw you. You know, like, kind of.
Right, right.
And that's what happens in a high school drama. So, like, ideally the show will not do that because that's
what happened season one and we weren't happy with it. Yeah.
Yeah. But do you know what I mean? That attitude of like, ugh. Well, fuck you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's definitely even weird. It feels, it's weird. I did pull that soundbite too, because I always love a Cheryl soundbite there of their conversation, Honey and Choni's confrontation. So let's hear from that too, so while we're here.
Thank you, ladies. I was actually going to reach out to you regarding that back to school dance that you've organized. It's canceled.
For why?
At the last student dance, multiple students were murdered.
Yes, but that's exactly why we need this dance. To heal. Mr. Honey, if I may speak from personal experience, the back-to-school dance after my brother Jason's death provided much-needed catharsis.
Well, I disagree.
I mean, I just love the way he kind of shuts that down with a, well, I disagree. Cheryl's just like, She's also really funny in the scene where she says, for why? I don't know. There's something about the writing of that is like hysterical to me.
It is funny.
But I mean, I like Cheryl punching up, trying to fight the power, that sort of thing. I mean, it's always funny when she's antagonistic, but it starts to get old when it's like with her peers, because it's like, come on, at this point, you guys have saved each other's lives multiple times. Like, you gotta lay off of, like, Veronica and your cousin Betty. Like, come on. Mm-hmm. So I like that she has, like, a new sparring partner, I guess. So I think that's pretty exciting. And we've already mentioned how we like her, Smith, in general. And
I do like him.
An interesting addition.
The other thing, I guess, there's two other points, I guess, that sort of happen in this, which is Mad Dog Monroe Mad Dog Moore,
yeah.
Is back in school, or comes back to school.
Yeah, Archie just, like, lets him come, like, he's his, like, plus one at an event or something.
Yeah, and the school's like, whatever. Apparently it's a shitty school. And he's on the football team, and it's just like, no shirts.
Yep.
Like, abs, it's days. Insane. And then the D story is sort of that, like, Alice is kind of off the grid. Charles is looking for her, and Betty is like kind of, Kevin's trying to get back in Betty's good graces, but she's like, I don't 100% buy it, and with good reason, because we eventually find out that he's kind of playing both sides.
Yeah, I mean, I was buying that Kevin was just like really sad and alone for sure, but like the him texting Fangs thing on the side as revealed, but like Betty sees Charles, her half-brother's notes about, like, listening to Kevin, like, having him bugged, basically. So she finds out he's been texting. I guess he wouldn't be listening if he's texting. He's, like, monitoring his phone somehow. Mm-hmm. But anyway, right, Kevin's been texting Fangs, and that's, like, I guess I forgot that they were a couple, too. So that has to feel really weird that he, like, was left behind, especially. So, I definitely don't really know where his allegiances lie, and the show plays up that quite a bit. I mean,
I kind of buy it. Like, he could be like insecure and just like wants to be friends with whoever. Whoever will have him.
Oh, totally.
And Betty won't have him, so
yeah. I mean, she lets him apply, but then she kind of gives him the runaround. And, like, you know, we love Betty, and I think we ultimately feel for her, but this is another example of how, like, calculated she can be, in that she's like, she goes and she's just totally bullshitting Kevin when they have their, like, dinner together, acting like everything's fine when we know she's just trying to use him, like, butter him up. And it's like, damn.
Yeah, and she's been, like, I don't know if, like, sex blind is a term or whatever, but, like, she's just, like, living with Jughead, basically. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Like, she wouldn't be, like, calling. It doesn't seem like any of them have jobs. So, like, she wouldn't be calling up Kev, like, hey, Jug's at work. Like, let's hang out.
But speaking of Jughead, he is busy, and he's going to continue to be busy with other things this season. There's this plot line hinted at where, well, it's basically revealed that at some point over the summer, his short story did not win the contest. But one of the judges was this Stonewall prep guy, Mr. Chipping, who shows up at the school and tries to talk, with Principal Honey. They try and talk Jughead into it, which is odd. But eventually, Jug, like, kind of gives in and is like, sure, I'll go visit this place.
And his dad makes him a piece.
Yeah,
like,
that's
you're
true.
Going.
That's
it's
true.
A tour.
And he does.
I didn't realize until the very end of the show that it was, like, live there prep school.
Oh, yeah, like a full academy sort of
yeah,
thing.
Not like a, just like a, pre- not like in Gilmore Girls where
I was
just like a commuter situation.
Right. We don't spend a ton of time there, but I was trying to look if that building was, like, a redecorated set from Sabrina because, like, there's the Witch Academy in Sabrina. And I was like, I wonder if they made up this plot so they could use that set.
Please let us know.
Yeah. The one interesting thing I thought that I wanted to point out from that was that the first other student that Jughead meets that gives him the tour, who's a total douche and is very weird to Betty, his character's
name... But it's making, like, Jughead references.
Oh, totally.
But also says, like, basically says Betty's dumb. And she's, yeah, like... So weird. And she just, like, rolls with it.
I mean,
she's, you know what I mean?
Very much, like, I think flips a switch and then is internalizing it. And then it's like, okay, well, I'm just not going to, like, listen to any of this at all.
But, like, Jughead isn't even standing up for her. Like, why are we under this impression now that Betty's stupid? Do you know what I mean? Like, is she, like, a B student? Do you know what I mean? Like, that's never the impression I got.
Right.
Like, she didn't do the summer reading? It just doesn't make any sense. Anyways.
I think she was distracted over the summer.
I know, but how hard is it to read one book?
Yeah. But, quick, weird little note thing that I wanted to point out. The prep school student that is a douchebag, his name is Brett Weston Wallace, which I have to imagine is a Brett Easton Ellis play on words.
It can't not be.
And it makes me think about, okay, that's maybe hinting at where they're trying to go with this plotline, because Brett Easton Ellis, of course, is the author who's written all those novels about, like, shitty upper crust sort of young teens being hot and rich and wealthy and terrible. So it's like, okay, I wonder if we're heading in the territory of, well, God, any number of things he's worked on, but that name had to have been intentional. And it's funny that he's a huge douchebag, because I wonder if any writers have specific feelings about him. So that's kind of his setup of the plot. I mean, that more or less gets us through the bulk of the first half of the episode. So you want to take a quick break and we'll come back?
Yes, let's take a break. Hey, Cameron.
Hello.
How do you feel about vitamins?
I had been someone that was always like, what are those?
I was always like, confused. These are huge and gross, and I hate taking them.
Yeah, it's kind of overwhelming.
They make my burps taste weird.
But, I mean, I gotta say, I've kind of had my opinion on them change recently because of Care of, which we've talked about before. Mm-hmm. But Care of is kind of something that has made them accessible and made them easier for me. I mean, especially this time of year, it's like, it's fall. There's illnesses going around. Mm-hmm. It's a good time of year to really kind of like take care of yourself and establish a sort of routine. So I think it's kind of the perfect time to tune into Care of. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that like we think of sort of, I don't know, sometimes I still think I'm on these like school year calendars where instead of like January 1 to December 31st, I'm still like September 1 to, you know, September 1 or whatever. And then summer is like, oh, it's summer. Like, I don't work during the summer, which is not true at all. So it's like a good time to get back into this like, routine, being like, this is it. Gotta buckle down, fall, you know, whatever. One thing I guess that makes using Care of super easy is this 5-minute quiz they have online. It's like a BuzzFeed quiz, super easy to take. Just like, I feel good about myself. Like, I wish my skin was better, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And then they give you some advice as to like what your little pack of vitamins should contain.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love doing that quiz. I think that it's like one of those things where it's like, oh, yeah, it's good to think about yourself that way. And it kind of really helps
pinpoint. I should be going to the bathroom more.
Right, exactly. It uses your answers to figure, you know, they've got this huge database of research that they've done there at Care of, and it helps recommend certain vitamins and supplements and protein powders and that sort of thing based on how you answer this quiz. And, you know, it kind of gives you these suggestions that you can then get monthly, and these nice, beautiful little packs that come to you, and
it's super cute. You can like so just tuck them on your counter.
Yeah, I mean, I love having that on my counter, and then you pick one out each day. There's little words of wisdom on each one, and it just makes it so easy to make the vitamins part of your routine.
Yeah, it's like little fortune cookies.
And of course, you can like try out what they suggest you based on the quiz, but you can also modify that later on, depending, you know, things change here and there. But it's great, and it comes right to your door. It's convenient. It's easy. Truly, you pull one out, and then you're out the door. It takes this thing that feels very cumbersome to think about vitamins and taking care of your wellness, and makes it as easy as like a few clicks and opening up a pouch, which I love.
And one thing I just learned, and this does not necessarily apply to me, but I don't care. I like when things don't apply to me, but they're still cool, is that they have vegan and vegetarian supplements, which you don't really think about like your supplements not being
totally
vegan. Like wine, not all wine is vegan, for instance. But you're like, no, I need vegan supplements. And they're like, cool, we got those.
Yeah, we got it. I mean, they've got a lot of things covered.
Yeah. We've talked about Care of before, and we are offering our listeners 50% off their first Care of order. You just go to takecareof.com and enter code DIALM50.
Yes, that's 50% off your first Care of order. You just go to takecareof.com. And again, that code is DIALM50.
50.
It's a great deal. Check it out.
Okay, so we're back from Stonewall Prep, and Betty and Charles are giving Kevin the business.
Yeah, I mean, right. Betty set it up to find Kevin in the woods talking to Fangs. Fangs, like, really was only there for the intel. And then Betty immediately nabs him, and they kind of play, not good cop, bad cop, Charles and Betty do with Kevin. It's more like just, we're both going to antagonize you and make you feel bad
like,
for
fuck
this.
Fuck you, you got caught.
And, I mean, I don't know, that kind of happens, and Betty later on sort of maybe feels like she needs to apologize to Kevin, but also is, like, still working him to some degree, because then she reveals the whole thing that Alice has been undercover this whole time, which no one saw coming. And then she kind of uses that to get him to talk to Fangs again. I don't know, like... I wasn't sure if she was ever being really genuine with him. Obviously, her number one priority is getting her mom back to safety, so.
Yeah. And then they were like, we'll say Penelope Blossom's the mole. I'm like, what? How does, I can't even remember. There's too much going on in this show.
Yeah, I thought that was a weird, you know, she was like, let's just name some random person. I thought she was going to make someone up. I thought she was going to be like, George Glass, you know, but instead it was a real person who.
George Glass.
Is obviously coming up again because she's not dead. She like
she's around.
But
no one ever dies in the show unless we like fucking see them die. And even then.
Yeah. I mean, God, not even Jason Blossom.
it was like literally furniture now. But
I was gonna say, I mean, we're obviously this is kind of a tough episode to recap succinctly because there's so many every character has a little plot that just kind of goes from scene to scene. But the Cheryl of it all, after they can't have the dance, Cheryl and Tony decide they're just going to throw a big party. And there's that great scene of them walking down the hallway with the...
Her skirt is a little crooked and it drives me crazy.
Oh, is
it? Yeah. Like the buttons are like a little off. But they threw the flyers. Very dramatic.
Yeah, the Archie song, which is great. But
I love when they use the original Archie song.
Oh, me too. Yeah. It's been a minute. They decide to throw the party at her house. Even though, well, one, Cheryl has still not told Tony about the Jason thing because obviously it's very creepy. But two, later on when Reggie's there at the party and almost gets into the area where Jason is, you see Jason for a half second. He's just covered with a sheet.
Yeah, he's not even hidden.
No, not
like,
at all.
Why is he behind, if you're trying to hide him, why are you putting him behind a gate that is clearly transparent and like you just put a sheet on him like and you can see his hand? Like, why isn't there another room behind that gate or put him behind a door?
Totally. Yeah, put up one of those, like, those things that you get changed behind or something like that. I know the Blossoms have tons of those in their house because that's, like,
Chinese
rich people
screen,
shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. But I don't know. Yeah, that was so odd. And, like, Reggie, like, almost sneaking back there on accident is one thing. But, like, how Tony is a smart person, as has been established. And for her to not be, like, mildly suspicious of what's back there or able to look through the fence and be like, what the fuck is that? Is wild.
I mean, not even like knowing that it's a body, but being like, is that a statue? Like, why is it covered up? Nothing else back there is covered up. You know what I mean? Like, anything is ridiculous.
Right. Speaking, well, so there's this party's going on. It gets out that the party is happening, of course. So the cops, aka FP, shows up. There's that great
boy,
moment.
You better not be drinking what's in that cup.
Honestly, one of the better like physical comedy moments of this show is Jug pouring his drink out. Because no comment there, he just pours it out. But he reveals to Cheryl pretty easily that Principal Honey called it in.
FP is not a great cop.
No, he shouldn't have said that.
No.
But we all saw that coming. The other, I mean.
And also she's like, who would have reported this party? I'm like, I don't know, literally anyone that saw a flyer that you like threw on the floor of the school.
Yeah,
like,
they were all over.
And then
the
she's
place.
Like, how could this guy know about it? It's like. Literally everyone would know about it. Like, the janitor could have called it in.
Cheryl's, like, the worst at keeping secrets is what we're getting out of here.
She might as well put up a flyer at Pops.
Yeah, true. Yeah. The other thing that kind of comes to a head via the party is the, like, Reggie EF G plotline mm-hmm. of this episode, which is like he seems a little uncomfortable with Mad Dog because there's like yet another alpha male on the football team. But mm-hmm. then there's the whole thing with his dad.
He has a black eye. His dad there with like the wall of custom cars.
Yeah.
And then Reggie has a black eye.
His dad's like very invested in football practice. Mm-hmm. Sure.
All of a sudden, like, has he not been there the whole time? Or is it just because he's trying to get Reggie into college?
Yeah, I guess it could be that too. I mean, we don't really get too much into it. It's just as like, I guess I'm just glad the show decided to deal with his dad being an asshole in some real way beyond just making it like a small tragic like character mm-hmm. plot thing. So that comes to a head at a match where Archie tells him off, and then later at the party. Oh, you had a thought?
Yeah. What happens is Veronica's like, he's had some other black eyes, like yeah. from when they were dating. I'm like, and no one did anything about this? Like, no one ever, like, why does it take Archie to step in? And then what happens is, like, him and Archie, like, beat up his dad's car. Mm-hmm. Really, just he does it, which is, like, I was like, is he going to beat up the whole car? And then I was like, no, that'd be too expensive. They can replace the windshield, but not the whole car.
For sure. I had that thought, too. Like, from a production standpoint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you can put that windshield in there.
Uh-huh.
He's like, this will bring it to a head, and then me and my dad will talk it out. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
And like, if you have a younger brother, cool, then he's going to start hitting your younger brother. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can't just be like, deal with it, dad. We talked it out. Like,
I wasn't sure the logic behind
that. No.
Because if he's been an asshole for no reason, then obviously him getting upset about his car being ruined is just yeah.
I guess make it worse. Maybe it's over now. I don't know.
I will say, I liked Reggie's kind of like confessional scene with Archie. I thought Charles Melton was pretty good in that scene mm-hmm. and kind of played. There's this part where he kind of actually, we have the soundbite. Let's play that real quick.
Reg, I think I already know, but how'd you get the black eye? What do you want me to say? Huh? That my dad hits me. That he beats the crap out of me over the stupidest things. That he's been doing it for as long as I can remember. I'm sorry, Reg. I really am. I was always so jealous of the relationship you had with your dad. No matter what you wanted to do, he always stuck by you. I have no idea what that feels like.
There's just a part of that where he's like, he's been doing it as long as I can remember, he says. But he kind of like laughs in it, like he's trying to laugh it off, like it's not this serious thing that's making him cry right now that feels very like real and bro-y and like a dude trying to mm-hmm. like share their emotions without really like divulging every, I don't know. I thought it was handled pretty well.
Yeah.
That scene at least. Again, the car smashing doesn't really make sense, but.
I mean, how do I put this? The show is very careful to be like, we have bi representation, we have representation, but then like the way it sort of handles parental abuse is like not super carefully, let's yeah. put it that way.
I mean, right. This is part of a history of, the whole Penelope sending Cheryl off to conversion therapy. Like, yeah, it's tricky territory to talk about regardless, but for it to sort of be this minor plot in this episode where
like, just do something crazy and then like your parents will just have a conversation with you.
Yeah, I hope no
one. And not just like fucking kill you. Do you know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like, it's insane.
Hopefully no one was taking notes.
No, I hope not. Speaking of taking notes, school is bad. No one did the summer reading, and Betty convinces Jug to go to Stonewall.
Yeah. I mean, he went to that, what I think they called the salon.
Where they talked about Moby Dick.
Mm-hmm.
He knew a lot more about Moby Dick than anyone did in my school.
Yeah, for sure. I mean,
allegories.
He knew that. He said he was a fan of Melville, so.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean.
It's one of his faves, and Betty's never read it.
Yeah.
There's no way.
There's no way.
I don't buy it.
No, you're right. I think the show's underselling Betty.
He's not
Betty
in AP
here.
English. She's like blue and gold.
Mm-hmm. Curious to see, we've already talked about Brett, but then there's these other students there. We've seen a few glimpses.
Like ethnically diverse.
Yeah. I just wonder how much they'll come into play. I think this is jumping to the end of the ep, but since we're close anyway and we're talking about this specific plot line, like, you see, Jug's like, I'm going to go after Betty talks him into it. He's dressed up. You see him talking to Jellybean and FP while he's all dressed up. And FP mentions that his grandpa.
Forsyth 1 went there. Mm-hmm.
And then,
but then mysteriously dropped out.
Yeah, then mysteriously drops out, which I think that as written, as he says it, he doesn't really think that much of it, but like, okay,
he's obviously. He's like, then he quit on everything. Like, he quit on me, quit on your grandma, blah, blah, blah. Well, did something happen that made him do this?
Yo.
I gotta think it's like a skull and bone situation, but we'll see when we get there.
Yeah, totally. I mean, and I think that we're also supposed to draw some sort, or start theorizing a little bit, because we go from that and we jump immediately to the flash forward.
Yeah, the spring break where he's missing.
Yeah, the little search party in the woods.
Mm-hmm. And I thought when we saw that at the end of last season that it was sort of like he was like a farm informant. Do you know what I mean? Like, he was working for Charles. That is not where we're going.
No, definitely not. I mean, this could be something else completely different. I think there's something going on at the school mm-hmm. that we are only seeing.
And maybe they didn't ask him to join because they liked his essay. Maybe they were like, Forsyth Jones, this is a legacy in the school and we have to track this person down.
Yeah. Who are these people? Who's Mr. Chipping?
Mm-hmm.
Chipping's an interesting name, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's supposed to be like, what was the Dead Poets Society teacher's name? Like Keating? Mr. I think it's something like that.
I think so. Okay, my captain.
Certainly trying to draw some parallels there. The other... Oh, we got to briefly touch on the Veronica
of it all. My least tier thing.
Yeah.
It's paparazzi's banging at her door. Like, how'd they get into the building? Who knows?
They got into the school earlier, too.
Yeah. And the girls' locker room. And they're using film cameras. And she's like, I will give a statement after a special performance.
Why?
And so they do all that jazz, which is like, I get it, Chicago, convicts, blah, 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 blah. I hated it. I hated like every second of it. I'm like, well, her voice is good. But like, why are we watching this? They added in like footsteps. Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
they
did
like Foley or something. It was weird. Or maybe they just recorded it, but they mic'd it funny. And so like they put it in there. The lip syncing was bad. The dancing was all kind of weird. I just didn't like it. And I was like, I don't need to see this like bump and grind.
Yeah.
All that jazz before her like weird statement.
I will definitely agree that she sounded good.
Yeah.
Like she
her
was
voice
singing
is good, especially
well.
The end.
Mm-hmm. But beyond that, I was just like, why are we doing this? I mean, truly from like a looking at this from a realistic standpoint, which like you probably shouldn't with Riverdale, it's like, why would that ever have to happen? Why would you have to do a performance and then make...
Yeah, I'm going to hold you all hostage to watch me perform.
Mm-hmm. And then, then she has her little press conference and it's intercut with the performance and she's got all those old-timey looking microphones around her. Mm-hmm. Like, true, obviously, the Chicago illusion is there, which, as a huge fan of that movie, like, sure, like, bring it on, but it just doesn't make sense. We should play her statement, though. So let's hear that soundbite.
I'm no stranger to scandal. That's what it means to be a Lodge. I love my parents. And because I love them, I trusted them. And all those nefarious things Rumordale.com accused me of doing, yes, I did them. I did them under duress because my father threatened me. And like the good, dutiful daughter, I did what I was told by Hiram Lodge.
I mean, we knew.
This kind is of what, true.
Yeah. I mean, and this is what she said at the beginning of the episode, too. I think the one actual change to come from her story in this episode is she has that talk with Hiram and he's like, you're a Lodge, you're always going to be a Lodge, this is just who you are, accept it, blah, blah, blah. And she tells Archie she's going to go by Gomez because that's Hermione's last name. So I don't know. I mean, I guess this is just like a move in the direction towards Veronica's independence, but we know it's like all going to come back to, well, it's going to continue to bite her in the ass because Hiram's just not going to let her off the hook like
that. I liked the Hiram scene, by the way.
Yeah, me too. I like that she was in costume again.
Yeah.
Veronica, like, I don't know. I guess I, like, have to applaud her for her, like, she's always living out this, like, fantasy world she has in her mind. And I guess that's because she grew up with all this money in New York City and is like, if I'm going to be stuck in a small town, I'm just going to, like, do it
up. It's a little Blair Waldorf-y.
It for sure is.
Speaking of that, Cheryl gets back at Principal Honey by planting a like super gross, gooey looking beehive on his desk.
Yeah, that was like really, I was like, that's what they look like? I don't know.
Also, how did they do, were all the bees in CGI or like, how did that work?
I'd have to watch it again.
I don't think so.
I mean, it looks pretty good, but I was just like, oh God, weird.
Yeah. Anyways, so there's a lot of bees.
Mm-hmm.
She's like the worst at, I mean, like she wants you to know that she did it.
Definitely.
Do you know what I mean? So like there's no, he's going to get back at her and like blah, 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 blah. Kevin learns from Franks that the farm is hiding in an abandoned motel behind the Maple Barrens. So they didn't even go that far.
Yeah, I thought that they were going to go to a different town because, like, we've been told that the farm travels from town to town. So why now are they like, battening down the hatches and being, like, preparing for war, as mm-hmm. it said? Like, they mentioned that he's armed, that Edgar's armed.
Yeah, so Edgar's there, he's armed, and it's basically, like, a militia situation. And then what we've heard mm-hmm. is that the farm situation really comes to a head in episode 3, which would be the next episode.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're going to turn around and head over there mm-hmm. immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was an interesting reveal. And, I mean, it's kind of what we expected for sure. I definitely have some thoughts based on what else we know about that episode. But we can save that for the next segment.
Let's take a break and we'll come right back.
Let's do it.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
All right, Cam, overall, what'd you think of the app?
I said I thought it was a fine return to form. You know, I kind of like where some of the things are moving. There's so much going on here that's like, it's hard to like even sum it up. But I like where some of the things are moving, and I like that so much of it was at the school. You know, we often complain about that. And I think back on the episode, which, you know, I just watched yesterday, but I'm thinking back on it. And again, that scene where they're just all in class bored out of their minds. It was like, oh, that's like a fun thing that hardly matters, but it's just fun to see that side of the class that we never really get to. So I'm fine with it. I'm interested to see where things go. I think you felt a little differently.
I didn't love it.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say I've had food poisoning, guys, the last couple of days.
Heck yeah.
And so my enjoyability of the world is not great right now because I want to die. So, but also there's just parts of it where I'm like, why are we pretending like Betty's stupid now? Like she's just practically smart, but not like academically smart. Mm-hmm. Like just stuff like that where I'm like, okay. But the girls did look really pretty.
Yeah, that's a plus.
I'll say that. Yeah. Like that yellow dress Betty wore to like the party.
Yeah. And I don't know how to say this without it. I mean, it's not because I'm a gay man, but Veronica's bra. Pretty hot.
The bralette, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's great.
It's one of those things that they always show in like TV movies where like women like sleep in their bras. Like they're like fully nude, but like they're like in it. They're like, gotta put this bra back on after we do it. Like it's like that doesn't happen.
But it doesn't happen.
But here we are. Especially when he like just like snaps it in the back.
I know. That was so weird. I can't believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a weird moment. But I was like, great.
Yeah.
Style choices, I guess.
Yeah.
Everyone's always styled to a T, of course.
Let's pop a squat in the speculation booth.
We're here.
To talk about what is coming up in Riverdale.
Mm-hmm.
Here's your questions here. I'll ask them to you.
Okay, sure.
Does Principal Honey have an agenda or is he just a hard ass? I think there's an agenda.
Yeah. I mean, I think that...
It's Riverdale.
Right. It's like, we just know that there's so many elements that get tossed out at the beginning of a season that the show is going to like... keep heightening and heightening and heightening, and that becomes mm-hmm. like the overarching plot. So it's like hard to not look at him as suspect number one and like the shit that's going to go down moving forward. I think he is a hard ass for sure, but yeah, I mean, like, where did he come from? Of course.
Mm-hmm.
And
I wonder how many apps he's going to be in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure I could find
Yeah,
out.
I don't know. I wonder if that has been announced. I mean, again,
they usually don't like announce. Like, they didn't say like how many Gina Gershon is in.
Oh, true.
They just said she's going to be his mom or whatever.
Well, I mean, for now, I'm on board. Again, I love him as a foil for Cheryl. I like them feuding. That's very
gives fun. Her a storyline.
And kind of on that note, because he brings up Rumordale.com, I had been wondering, like, is Hiram behind these Rumordale.com posts or?
I mean, that kind of is what he says in the jail, right? Like, he's like been planting stuff.
Yeah, for sure. I wonder, like, if we get any more of that. I mean, again, Rumordale.com is just another one of those, like, chef's kiss, like, show names that they come up with. It's so perfect.
But it's weird, right, that, like, they'll do that, and then they'll be like, they say I'm a shoo-in for Harvard.
Yeah,
and I'm
for
like,
sure.
We're just, like, calling it the regular school now. It's not, like, Harvard or something. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, there's certain things. I mean, right, Sarah Florence. We have Sarah Florence, and then we have Harvard. So
it's not, like, to spoil anything, I don't think she's going to Harvard. Because it's the show.
You're probably right. I know. I mean, definitely getting ahead of ourselves, but like trying to picture what the show is after they graduate high school is interesting.
And also, like, did she not do the summer reading, but she's going to Harvard?
I don't know. I don't know.
But Archie's going to look into community colleges wherever Harvard is.
Mm-hmm.
Is Kevin back on the good side now, or will he screw up Betty Alice over? I think he's like, it's super sad. Mm-hmm. But I think now that Betty's like paying attention to him, he's like doing better. Like, he'll like, he's not as mad at her.
I think anything that ends up happening is going to, with the farm, if things go south, which of course they will for at least an episode, like, I think that it's not Kevin acting maliciously. It's like his naivety probably like ended up like getting them caught or something like that. Mm-hmm. That being said, like, he probably has like a moment next episode where he's able to like make up for things, you know? Maybe he has to, like, stand up to Edgar or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Would be nice.
Mm-hmm. And then how are they going to, like, deprogram everybody? It's super strange.
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder how much we see these people again. Like, even though there's a new principal, is Weatherby coming back? I don't really care if he does or not, but...
like, fangs?
Yeah.
What do you make of Grandpa Jones' sudden departure, and does Stonewall prep lead to Jughead's spring break disappearance? Yes and yes.
Yeah, I mean, we've definitely touched on that too, but the, I don't know. I mean, what could it have been? Like, why would he have left? Why did that cause him to, like, drop out of everything in life?
That's what they want you to think about.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole point.
But also, it's like, when was FP born then, if his grandpa abandoned things when he went to this prep school?
It could have been after. It could have just been like, it could have been like, if you get PTSD in the military, then that like affects every decision afterwards.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Right. He was just like never the same person after he went there. I don't know, but it's an interesting thread to follow. Also, in the speculation booth, I always like a lot of time for fan theories, and I think I want to be able to like start bringing those on the fold again, like our tweets from our listeners and everything. So, because I don't have any this week, this is just a general call to action. Like, please, as always, don't hesitate to share your thoughts.
We can ask one specific question, which is like, what do you think happened to FP1?
FP1, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. We always want to know your theories. So if you've got thoughts on FP, like, let's start theorizing. Let's hear it. What do you think? Tweet at us.
FP1, FP2, FP3.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Forsyths, plural.
Mm-hmm.
Final section of Speculation Booth, as always, is the name game, where we look ahead at the episode title for the next episode. Next week's is called Dog Day Afternoon, which is named after a movie I absolutely love, like one of my all-time favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen?
Mm-mm.
Great Al Pacino performance, just really, really fascinating. Like, I mean, the basic plot is that he's this guy that holds a bank up hostage. He's trying to make money so that he can pay for his partner's gender confirmation surgery, which is pretty crazy because this is a movie from the 70s. So it's like
based on a true story.
And it is. Yeah. Yeah. Okay,
yeah.
It's great. Amazing performances. I love it very much. But I think, like, you know, knowing what we know about the show, kind of taking the farm plotline into episode 3, like, I assume there's going to be some sort of crazy hostage situation at the new farm hideout. There's got to be.
So, like, from what I've read, I think also in that Roberto, that story we were talking about earlier, he said that, like, it's the episode three is, like, pushing it farther than the show's ever pushed it before, which is insane.
Yes.
And we'll see if that turns out to be true.
Pushes it farther in terms of, like, the action and suspense and, like...
And, like, just, like, off the wall.
Yeah.
Riverdale-ness.
I mean, again, that season trailer, teaser trailer that we got at New York Comic Con, that last shot is Betty and Alice walking through the halls of what we assume are this hotel farm hideout. Betty has a pistol in hand and a beret on her head, which, like, we
love
to see.
Maybe she shoots Edgar.
I mean, I kind of think so. I wonder if we'll see Evelyn, because we haven't even heard her name mentioned.
Yeah.
We did, while I'm speaking about her, we did have a listener reach out to us and tell us that they saw Zoe DeGrand Mason, aka Evelyn Ever and Ever, on the streets of Toronto, and she had like had to do a double take.
Cool.
Which I love. I don't know.
Toronto.
Why are we not seeing these people out and about here in LA? That's the only reason we moved here.
I did see Andrew Rannells, yeah, as you know, which is very exciting for
that's
me.
That's a huge win. Yeah.
The end. That's the end of that story. Let's take a break and we'll come back and do the blue and gold.
Sounds good.
We are back for the latest edition of Blue and Gold, which is where we talk about our favorite Riverdale adjacent moments every week from the cast, the fans, and beyond. Let's do yours first, Cam.
Yeah, I feel like last week we were kind of talking about, like, what did we miss over the summer and the break from the show, and, like, what has everyone been up to? And we were talking about how it felt like the cast has been a little quieter. You know, we're not seeing as many posts from set as we used to.
Sorry, I'm typing. Oh, I'm looking up mine.
But the one thing I absolutely forgot to shout out that I wanted to is KJ Appa on Twitter. I mean, I think he's like a reliably goofy, fun presence on Instagram. His Twitter's pretty silent. He was like promoting his Christian movie when there's a trailer for that, and I'm sure he'll continue to, but he doesn't tweet a lot on his own volition. And so I've been like really loving the few times he does. Back in September, he had a tweet that just read, "I don't really know why I have Twitter," which is like... Yeah, great thought. And he followed that up with, "The only reason I have Twitter is to see if Cole Sprouse has been talking shit about me," which is funny.
Which is generally true. And, like, people will report about that. Mm. So, yeah.
And then this month is...
Honestly, he probably has Twitter because he's, like, a YA star.
Oh, totally.
So people, like, make them have Twitter and Instagram.
I think he kind of has to. I was thinking about that with Jennifer Aniston, who just joined Instagram. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, it's because you're on an Apple TV show. And yeah. We want you to be able to, like, promote it.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I think that that's part of the reason why I'm, like, so tickled by his presence is that he's not that he needs to be promoting Riverdale, because everyone that watches it is watching it already, but, like, you know, it's not that at all right now. His most recent tweet, his only normal non-retweet tweet of October has been, "I wish I didn't need to sleep." It's like, that reminds me of the old days of Twitter or, like, Facebook statuses where it's like, KJ Appa is... wondering why he needs to sleep. Anyway, I love it. I love him. I'm a fan.
My favorite this week is Cole Sprouse's weird selfie that he posted on Instagram the Marlboro hat, like that awful goatee that, like, I don't know, and like his pants are unbuttoned and the caption is, "Oops, someone help, can't button up my pants because my hands are covered in WD-40 again," which you wouldn't really get WD-40 on your hands, but that's like he's just using like masculine terms. But then my favorite thing about it is the responses.
Oh boy, yeah.
Which is which says boy. And then Haley Lou Richardson says, "Congrats on finally being able to grow facial hair."
Oh, Haley Lou, our favorite.
Yeah.
One of our favorites and his co-star from 5 Feet Apart.
Yeah. So I enjoy that.
Yeah, there's some really great comments on it. Actually, like, as I'm scrolling through, there's so many verified comments from his co-stars. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know what's going on there at all, but I think he's, like, sort of...
I think he just, like, will only post selfies if they're, like, bad.
It's weird, yeah.
Which is totally fine with me.
Yeah, we love Cole's online presence.
What was I going to say?
Oh.
Here's a question for the teens. Apparently he's been Instagramming things he listens to, like St. Vincent and Lana Del Rey, Blake Mills.
Good choices.
Suzanne Sundfer. I don't know who that is. Sundfer. Do these people have TikTok?
Oh,
because that's what the kids are doing now, right? TikTok.
Wait, yeah, let us... I have it on my phone, but I never look at it. I mean, I don't have an account. I've never posted anything. But, yeah, are we missing out on some good content?
Yeah.
Should we be on
some
TikTok
tent? Yeah.
Following some tent, as the teens call it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be great. If any of our listeners are on TikTok and know anyone from the cast, if they're an active user, please, please direct us to their profiles, because we're missing out, maybe, on some good stuff. Waiting, hoping, I'm just waiting for the day that, like, Skeet's on there. Oh my god, if Skeet's on there, like, let us know. I hope. Did you see that video that I already brought up, Jennifer Aniston and The Morning Show, but did you see Reese Witherspoon's, like, video where she's asking her son how to use TikTok?
I saw it, and then I was like, I'm not watching this.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you might be better off for having not seen it, but I don't know. It was just, like, it's just very funny. I definitely like celebrities like Reese leaning into their, like, mom-parentness, momminess and everything. I think it's very charming.
For sure. 100%.
And to see their, like, teens be embarrassed by them in real time is very funny. Skeet, who we know has young kids, like, they could probably show him how to use TikTok and then be embarrassed by his presence on
there. Oh, yeah. I'm shocked if he doesn't have it already. We'll have to go look. It seems like maybe Machen would do it. It's a lot of questions here.
Yeah. We're going to look into that. We'll have a whole TikTok feature next week. No promises, but maybe.
next week's full goal will be about TikTok.
Yeah, probably.
And which I'll sounds like a Riverdale social media thing.
Oh, totally. The name of it, even? TikTok? I mean, yeah, I wonder if it'll play into the show. God, remember Bumble being an ad in the show?
Oh, yeah.
Did we talk about that already? How, like, technically you do have to be over 18 to use Bumble, but, like, they're not on the show?
No, you have to be over 18 to look at beer websites, too, but that doesn't mean anything. True. You're just like, yes.
I love when the lines of reality are blurred by the show. I mean, I think that's the episode. This was, we're back in the swing of things. And again, as we mentioned last week, it's like, hell yeah, we get an episode. We don't have to wait again. You know, we've got another episode coming next Wednesday. And we'll be here, rain or shine or stomach bug, you know, like.
Hopefully that goes away as I drink my Gatorade. Dial M for Maples, a production of Onion Inc. Our theme music is by Stuart Wood, and our engineer is Stacey Gerard. The show is hosted by me, Mara Eakin, and Cameron Sheets. If you like the show, tell your friends, and they can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, and anywhere else you get podcasts. You can also follow us on Twitter at Dial M for Maple. We will see you guys next week when, hopefully, the farm is brought to justice.
Bye-bye, Bulldogs.